This podcast is a ministry of New Song Christian Fellowship in Louisville, Kentucky. We are led by our senior pastors, Jeff and Tracy Lamont. Today's sermon is titled, The Power of the Tongue, and was offered by our friend, Pastor Doug Easterday. It was recorded on May 19th, 2019. It's our prayer that God will use it to begin and reveal something new in you. God bless.
And Doug's just been such an incredible blessing. The last time I think he was scheduled to be here, flight got delayed and there was some bad weather and he wasn't able to make it. So it's been a while since we've gotten a chance to welcome our dear brother Doug Easterday. Would you give him a good New Song welcome as he comes today?
Well, good morning. I'm delighted and privileged and blessed to be here today. So quite a few things have happened since the last time I was here. I think it was probably October, if I remember right, the last time I was here. Well, some of you know that my wife Joyce was struggling with a horrible, cruel disease called Alzheimer's. Well, she got promoted. And she's walking on streets that are gold. And she's got a clear mind and a whole body. Hallelujah. She beat me there. I bring you greetings from my son, Daniel. Some of you know him. He was in the hospital last week because of severe infection, and they've gotten on top of it. He's doing better, but he just wanted to, last night when I was talking to him, he said, "Now make sure you tell him hi from me." So, everybody sitting down? Yeah, okay, you're sitting down. I'm just trying to figure out how to say this. Just say it. About last fall, I guess it was, four different people, and not knowing each other, came to me and said, "You know, God's going to bring a woman into your life." And I said, "No, thank you." But God did. A lady that I've known, you can put the picture up if you want, a lady that I've known for 36 years. She was on our staff in Indiana before our ministry there. It's a miraculous story. If you want to hear more about it, I'll be happy, more than happy to tell you. But anyway, I'm getting married. This is Donna. Like I said, I've known her for 36 years. I was there when my wife and her were very good friends. And so Joyce would be thrilled. So it's an amazing new season of my life. Never, ever thought I was resigning, that I would live out my life alone. And thought, well, you know, it's not what I prefer, but I can do that. And then all of a sudden, I'm 69 years old and I got 25-year-old feelings. I didn't remember what those things were like. Like, woo! Feelings. Wonderful feelings. Butterfly. How many remember butterflies in your stomach? Like, you know, you're thinking, you hear the phone ring and it's her. Oh, yeah. So anyway, we're getting married June 29th, so it's coming up, and I couldn't be more excited and more happy. So, okay, that's all. Good night. You can take that picture away because I'll get a little distracted. I want to go kiss the screen. Probably shouldn't do that. So, take a moment, if you would, to prepare your heart to receive what God has for you today. Do you believe God has something for you today?
Yes.
Well, let's just prepare. Let's just take a moment, kind of put things away, the distractions of your life this last week or month, and just, okay, Lord, I just want to receive everything you have. Just give him access to your heart and spirit. Give him permission to speak to you. Lord, we be like little Samuel this morning. And we just simply say, speak, Lord. We're listening. I pray in Jesus' name. Remember when you met Jesus? Remember that day? Salvation did not complete God's plan in your life. Salvation began God's plan in your life. Everything prior to you accepting Jesus was moving you to the day that you would accept Jesus. But when that took place, that's when his plan initiated. God has a plan for your life. Can you say amen?
Amen.
It's a good plan.
Yes.
It's a good plan.
Yes.
But to walk in the plan and the purpose and the will of God, we need to be growing. How many of you want to grow? Those of you who don't raise your hand, you're dismissed. Now, how do we grow? Well, we know we can grow physically. Those of us that are adults, we hope we're stopping that growth. We don't really want to grow anymore physically. When I was in junior high school, I grew 12 inches in 12 months. My mother would tell me when she'd buy pants for me, she had to run home to put them on me because if she's too slow, they would be too small. So when we grow physically, obviously there's evidence, there's observation, but growing spiritually, and I want to challenge us that we need to be growing. So think back a year ago. Think back 5 years ago. Are you growing in significant major areas of your life? Are you growing in your marriage? Are you growing with your children? Are you growing in your job? Are you growing in relationship with people at church? Are you growing in relationships with people around you? Are you growing? See, if we're not growing, there's usually several reasons we don't grow. One, we don't think we need to. Did you hear me? Because we often, you know, if things aren't broken, why fix it? If there is no blood, you know, we don't need to do anything. This is more true with men, probably. And men, we have a tendency, you know, it's like in marriage, well, you know, if she's not complaining, it must be okay. I do a fair amount of marriage counseling. And I tell you that so many times men don't have a clue until it gets so bad that it's almost beyond repair. Because, you know, as long as I got food and long as the laundry's done and, you know, she'll sleep with me, I'm, you know, it's fine. How many of you know it might not be fine? All the ladies are raising their hands. We need to be growing. Are you growing in your life, in your marriage? Relationship with your children, relationship with God. And this is something that has to be intentional. It doesn't happen by accident. It doesn't happen because you show up on church on Sunday morning once a week. Now, should we do that? Yes. I'm not in any way criticizing that. But we need to be growing. How many of you want to be growing? And I want to challenge us about growth today. See, maturity is not having it all together. Otherwise, none of us would ever be mature. Maturity is knowing your strengths, but also knowing your weaknesses and doing something about them. That's maturity. Are you doing something about your weaknesses? How many of you have weaknesses? If you don't, if you're not, raise your hand, ask your spouse. They'll tell you. And I want to give us an area of growth that I think we all need to work on, and I'm preaching to myself today for sure. If I said, I have something to give you that has the power of life or death, would you want it? So what are we talking about? Power of life or death? How about a gun? So you, those of you that, wherever you're at with guns, now I'm not making a political statement here, but if you have a gun, you keep it safe. You keep it in a place that's protected, and so, you know, you don't blow your foot off or something by accident. It has power. Well, I'm not sure it can give life. Maybe it can protect life. Well, how about positions? There are people in positions that have power over us. Are you with me? People can give promotions. People can take away our jobs. People can make our jobs miserable. People can make our jobs wonderful. Are you with me? We're going to talk about people, positions. Yeah. But that is. How about money? Can money give life or death?
Well, without it, that sure seems like death.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to talk about that either. I want to talk about something that's between your lips. Stick out your tongue, would you? Grab it.
And then talk about this thing right here.
Did you ever wonder where sticking out your tongue came from? Anybody ever wonder that? When I was preparing this, I thought, where did sticking out your tongue originate? What's the source? So I did some research. You know what? Nobody knows. How many of you ever stuck out your tongue at anybody? What do we mean by that? One commentator I was reading last night about where this came from, it says, kids, you probably shouldn't stick out your tongue to your parents. So that's just a little advice there in case you shouldn't probably do that. Okay, you can laugh now. That's the end of my joke. That was too late, Jeff, sorry. But I want to talk about the power of your tongue. Let's look at the scripture. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 says this. The tongue, the what? The tongue has the power of life and death. Huh. Your tongue. Another scripture says, out with your mouth come the issues of life. And the tongue is something that we probably don't spend as much time thinking about our need for growth. Let's look at another scripture in the book of James, chapter 3. James 3. The Word of God says this. We put bits into mouths of horses to make them obey us. And then a little bit, we can turn the whole animal. Or we take a ship, for an example. Although they are very large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder, comparatively, and whatever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small one little spark. The tongue is also like a fire. It can have evil. It can come and set things on fire. All kinds of animals and birds and reptiles, sea creatures are tamed. But oh, taming the tongue. With the tongue we praise the Lord, our Father, and with it we curse human beings. My friends, this should not be. Your tongue. Is it important? What you say important? How many of you ever said something you wish you hadn't said? But you know, once you say it, you can't unsay it. There's no reverse for my words. I was teaching one time on videotape, and we were making this master for some other things, and I just talked about what I call the homecoming queen syndrome, which means the value of physical appearances is just so little important. And I just mentioned that. And I look it in the camera. I want to give it a little extra oomph of really, you know, my point. And so I meant king. But because I just said home, that was really funny to me. Sorry it wasn't to you. And you could, the videotape, it was shaking because the whole room was in hilarity. And once you say that, my staff would blackmail me often. Hey, you don't give us a day off. We're going to send that video to some Christian organization. All hail Queen Jesus. But see, I want it so bad when I said it. But I couldn't take it back. And there's very few things that we do that once they happen really are not very correctable, like the tongue. And I want to challenge us today that we take a very good and deep look at the words that come out of my mouth. Now, I want to try to give a little balance. And I try to say this carefully and lovingly. But there's some people in Christianity that teach about confession and always confessing what's right and don't ever admit the negative. And I call it hyperfaith. I'm not teaching that, okay? I think some of those hyperfaith is basically Christian selfishness. You just name and claim your pink Cadillac or whatever. I'm not saying that. If you're sick, it's not wrong to say, I don't feel well. You're not cursing yourself. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not just saying, just always say the positive. No, sometimes there are negative things that are going on. Have you noticed? But I'm saying how we choose to use our tongue will affect everything about us. And we need today just to take a little while and say, all right, I want to grow. Do what? I want to grow in how I use my tongue. Is it good to take a look? All right, let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 30. Now, I have 15 scriptures. I'm probably not going to get to them all. But I tell you what, I was amazed at how much the Bible talks about the tongue. Pretty significant area. How many of you think you might need to grow in the use of your tongue? How many of you think there's improvement possible? How many think that it's a good thing for us to say, okay, I wanna look at this today and I wanna make a choice and a commitment to, okay, I wanna be growing. Let's look at verse 11 of Deuteronomy 30. Now, what I'm commanding you today is not too difficult for you. Do you hear that? You know, you can control your tongue. You do at times, don't you? If a policeman stops you, you control what you say to him. If you're in a court of law, you're careful what you say. If you're around grandma or whomever, someone really respected, you control. You're around the pastor. We can do it. It's just that we don't often choose to do it. What I'm commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. And it's not up in heaven. You're going to say, who's going to get me some help to throw my stupid tongue? No. Listen to it, what it says. No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth. Let's say that together. In your mouth. Whose mouth? Mine. And the use of the tongue. It says that those who guard will keep you from calamity. Anybody want to be kept from calamity? The Bible says one of the keys is how you use your tongue. Let's do a little bit of self-checking here today. All right, here's my area of weakness. I'm sure none of you have this weakness, it's just me, but this is confession. My weak area is inanimate objects, like my computer. How many ever talk to your computer? Like it can hear you. You stupid thing! How many have ever called your computer stupid or other names that you maybe don't want to mention in church? Or you're putting the trash and the trash can falls over or the bag breaks. Anybody relate to this? And we start yelling at things, inanimate objects. Anybody connect to this? This is my area of weakness. You stupid dog! Do you know that affects you? That affects you significantly. And the Bible says we need to keep a guard. A what? A guard means you are careful what comes in and what comes out. You guard it. When I was in the military, I had to pull guard duty. And in guard duty, you had to make sure that those who were around were permitted, had the authority. That's what we do with our tongue. We are careful to make sure that what we're saying has been blessed and okayed and given authority from God Himself. If God would not say it, why would you? So inanimate objects. Anybody relate to this besides me? Stupid thing. Who in the world you? How many of you ever talked to traffic lights? Like they can hear you. What? Did you ever think about changing your dipstick? Or whatever. I'm just confessing. But what I'm challenging us, and I'm preaching to me today, is that, see, this is way more than just a couple of words. You're frustrated because the light's seeming to take forever to change. It begins to affect your spirit. It'll affect the thing an hour later when you are picking your kids up from school and they slam the door as they get in and got muddy feet, and then you say some things to them that you shouldn't. Are you following me? It started because you were screaming at the traffic light. And that carries on, and then it affects. And then when you do that to your kids, then that becomes a little bit more, and then something else later, and then something, are you with me? And pretty soon, we're having a pretty rotten day. And it started because you yelled at the stupid traffic light. And I want to challenge us. Let's correct it at the beginning, not 3 hours later when we're all kinds of, seems things are going not so good and not so well. I have a little statement that I make. I'll make it and I'll explain it. Without a buildup, you won't have a blow up. How many of you ever had a blow up of anger? Those aren't raising your hand. We're going to have an extra class for you tonight. It's called honesty. Be here at 7 o'clock. Laugh now, please. So we've all had blow-ups of anger. But you usually don't have a blow-up by one thing. It's usually something happens, then something else 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 happens, and then we let it all go. How many relate? But if we deal with each thing when it comes, you won't have anything to build it on. And that is by choosing to keep a guard by the Spirit of the living God which is in you on your tongue. So, you might make a mistake. Come on, traffic light, get a grip. Stop right then. Sorry, Lord. Sorry, Lord. Thanks for traffic lights that keep me protected. You know what's going to happen? First of all, your irritation's going to stop. And number two, the traffic light will change more quickly. Don't tell me I'm wrong until you tell me. Or at your computer. Come on. I didn't mean you to do that. Well, you did push the button, remember. But we say and do things that begin to put us in a movement of downward, and it goes down, and it was down, and it goes down, to pretty soon the whole stinking day is rotten. Anybody relate? I want to challenge you. Keep a guard on your tongue. Out of the tongue, the Bible says, become the issues of life. Or we could put it in here, the issues of death. You can give death with this thing. Or you can give life. The Bible says in Deuteronomy, choose life then. Choose life. Choose to let your tongue give life. Do you know, in parenting, research is given, it takes 3 positive encouragements and affirmations for every 1, neutral or negative, just to break even. You're not building anything to do 3 positive to 1. You're just not going in the hole. That means 3 positive or 1 negative. When I was younger, I was really involved in sports and played quite a bit. Basketball was my passion. I wish my coach would have heard this thing about 3 positive for every 1 negative. I think he had 30 negative. How many know that words can hurt? Remember the little thing we said as kids? Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. It's just not true. Words are worse than sticks and stones. And the Word of God very clearly says to us, guard your tongue. So we talked about inanimate objects. Let's look at a couple other things. How about with your kids? Remember, 3 to 1. I challenge you today, make a commitment when you get home. Tell your kids what you love about them. Tell your kids why you appreciate them. Tell your kids, even though they tried to clean their room, they only did it half well. Talk about the half they did well. Talk about the answers they got right on the test, more than the ones they got wrong. Guard your tongue. It says you'll be kept from calamity if you guard your tongue. All right, let's talk about marriage. How you doing in communication in marriage? How's your tongue? If you don't know, ask your spouse. They'll probably tell you. But do a little bit of inventory. It's a good thing. How am I doing with my tongue in my marriage? Gentlemen, when was the last time you thanked your wife for cooking a meal? When's the last time you said, oh, man, I'm so amazed to open my dresser drawer and here's clean clothes. Thank you so much. Have you done that? Well, no, that's her job. Oh, got it. That's what the Bible says. Only give thanks when it's something extraordinary. No, it says all the time. How many times do you tell your spouse, I love you? I'm proud of you. Good job. Way to go. I'm with you no matter what. I believe in marriage that communication is the key to good or destructive. I challenge you, married people, work on communication. Do you ever have communication times you set apart just a time to talk? Now, we can't always schedule it, I know. That's a little bit more canned. But make sure, gentlemen, you are communicating. See, communication means I'm letting what's in here out so that you can get it. And I'm receiving what's in there to come in here, so I get it. Communication comes from the word communion. You don't have communion without communication. And that's the key. I believe it's the key to marriage. Will you commit to it? Will you commit to working better, doing more? See, here's the challenge. Usually communication increases when there's a problem. We got, you know, some dilemma with finances or with the kids or my job or the house or something. And then communication really goes up. But when things are, you know, more normal, if you would say, or okay, communication goes down. See, that's when it begins. Marriage is not on momentum. It has to be building or it's dying. And I believe the key is communication. Watch your tongue. The psalmist tells us, I have made a commitment that with my tongue I will not sin. That's Psalm 17, verse 3. With my tongue. So how are you doing with marriage? How are you doing at work? How is your communication with other people around you at work? Do they know you are a believer? Do they know that you love the Lord? Do they know your values? Now, I'm not saying you have to put a sandwich board around your neck and walk around. I'm a Christian. Ask me why. But I believe so much of what people talk about is, oh, I've never heard them complain. That's more of an evidence of your walk with God than giving them the four gospels. Oh, they're just always so positive and encouraging. How you doing at work? All right, here's one. How about other drivers? Anybody want to say, guilty as charged, rest of you are lying? Anybody notice how some days it seemed like all drivers are idiots? Anybody notice that? Like, where'd they all, did they get all out of jail the same time or something? Well, we get idiot entrance to the interstate today. Do you know why that is? Because you let it build up. First driver irritated you. You spoke negatively. Then another one. Then you spoke negatively. And then another one. And then the whole world stinks. I want to challenge in the name of the Lord, guard your tongue. And bless those drivers. Bless them. If they drive like that, they need blessing. And find a way to guard your tongue. Because sometimes you might be that driver other people are irritated with. How about the government? Oh, sweet Jesus, the government. Anybody have any frustrations with the government? If you're not raising your hand, you're not paying attention. What do we say? Are there problems? Absolutely. I'm not discounting. But see, what goes out, what continues to come out, the flow out of your heart is going to affect your spirit. It's going to affect your attitude. It's going to affect your day. It's going to affect how you live your life. And I challenge you in the name of the Lord. Guard your tongue even with the government. They're wrong, absolutely, in so many areas. But I have someone who has greater authority than our government. Amen? And he's our Savior. And he has all authority in heaven and earth. Amen? And we need to declare what's right and what's positive, even in a negative world. You will not be sorry you guard your tongue. You'll not be sorry that you grow and improve in this. You'll not be sorry that you make some progress in the use of your tongue. You're not going to say, well, that didn't work. No one's ever going to say that. You're going to say, oh, man, I'm so glad that I watched my tongue. It was so, I just feel better. I feel lighter. I challenge you today. Now, we've got 5 minutes left. I want us to do something very practical and very scary. I'm closing my Bible. When a preacher does that, he is serious about ending. That's a little humor, probably very little. No one caught it. I want you to go to one other person and pray together about your tongue. If you're free to confess, do it. If you're free to say, I need the prayer in this. Now, if you want to go to your spouse, you can. You don't have to. You can go to somebody else. But I want to take 5 minutes or 4.5, and let's pray for each other and ask God and make a commitment as you pray. Then pray for yourself. God, I want to grow in this. Do you want to grow in this? All right, let's just take 5 minutes. Go ahead and get one other person. Share something that you need. Share something that you desire. Something that you should take place. And pray for one another. You might have to move around because, you know, it's not always convenient. But let's just take 5 minutes to pray for one another. You have about one more minute. I'm just going to read. You can continue to pray. I'm going to read some scriptures, talk about the tongue. I'll leave you with this. From the fruit of the lips, a man is filled with good thing. Even at his work, his hands rewards him. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise bring healing. A fool that brings healing is a tree of life. Even a fool is thought wise that keeps silent and the discerning by holding their tongue. He who holds his tongue is wise. A man who lacks judgment derides his neighbor, but an understanding holds his tongue. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. What comes out of a man's mouth can make him unclean. I have resolved with my mouth not to sin. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Let's pray together. Lord, we are aware this is very down to earth, very practical, very everyday. And Lord, we want to represent you well by how we use our tongues, how we speak and how we don't speak. Lord, I do pray that we will be known as people like, oh my, oh, they're so loving, and sometimes I don't even know why they say that, but it will be because of how we use our tongue. Lord, give us carefulness, give us guards. I pray you'll bless these precious, precious people. Give them what they need this week. Protect them in Jesus' name.